And again, welcome to everybody online. I want to set the stage for the sermon message today, put in place some of the inspiration for how it came to be that this was a topic that I chose for this Sabbath. Being apart from one another can sometimes help us think about each other in a different way. We begin to think, you know, what are they going through at home? I wish we could be there with them. And many different ways of thinking of those that we love and care about. And I know all of you do that, and I really appreciate that you do. To pray for one another in a different way than when we are together, because we want God to bless our family, our friends. And Paul wrote about such times in several different instances. Now, this is like the first of three things I'm putting together to kind of set the stage for the sermon message today. The love that we have for each other and the connection when we're apart. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 8, very beautiful passage here. It's a very personal message to the people that Paul was serving in Philippi. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And I found myself doing this as I was traveling this last week, always in every prayer of mine making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And there are times when we really think about each other, when we remember the things that we're still looking forward to, the things that are happening in the lives of those we love, many good things. There are people who are recently have had a new baby born in their family. That means new grandparents or grandparents added one more to their trophy case, if we could call it that. The fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so there are those times we know that God is working in the lives of our friends, his sons and daughters. We know he will complete that work. We just sometimes don't know how it's going to happen, but we pray for it and are thankful. It says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. And I know that it's not just Paul, it's not just me, it's all of you who have those kinds of thoughts toward your friends and your family. Can you talk to me about it? And we are very close in our fellowship with some in these different ways. He said, verse 8, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. I know you feel that too sometimes when you're far away from someone important to you. Even a friend that you just really want to spend some time with. A fishing buddy once in a while for me. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Paul wanted them to keep growing and sharing with each other and have that love that would abound and help strengthen everybody else around them, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so that kind of fellowship, it happens sometimes more pointedly, more to the focus of what Paul was addressing in those times when we are apart from each other. And I know that I was feeling that this week. I'd lay in bed and think, what about this one or that one? Hope that they're having the things they need. Things we read about in the announcements for Daniel was on my mind, and to get the answer was very encouraging too. There was another part that began to help focus my attention, And eventually I'll get to the sermon point, but I want to just show you how it started. And we're in that time of year between Passover and Pentecost. And I see some smiles and you begin to know me after a few years and you go, okay, he's got this layered thing that he's working on, and then we'll see what it is. But we're in that time of year between Passover and Pentecost. As we see in the scripture, there are some things that we can read about and lessons we can learn from there. And we add that to the point of being apart from each other, caring for each other. There are times when there's some significant changes going on in our lives, and sometimes we need help to get through. And the disciples were in such a time when Christ was newly raised from the dead. The things that they'd been through, the traumas that they witnessed and endured themselves. And so there was that time period between the resurrection and Pentecost, where Christ devoted his attention to them in a very special way. And so we're here in that time period too. And for 40 days after he was raised from the dead, Jesus spent time with his disciples. They'd recently been through so much, and a lot of us are going through a lot of things right now, positive things and things that are more difficult in our life. Jesus Christ opened their understanding to the scriptures. He said, this is what it says in the scripture. This is where we go for the answers, explaining and expounding the reason for his own suffering and the things that would come for them. He calmed their fears. He ate with them. He walked with them. He comforted them during this time period. He restored their faith and their standing as his servants with him. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And so now this became where they would always go for the answers that they needed. He commissioned them to carry on with the great work that he had begun. And he spoke to them about the future, their future and his future. And we can see this in Acts chapter 1, in verse 1-3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, the former account being the book of Luke, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And if you read that last chapter of the book of Luke, you can see some of the details that happened during this time period of the year and see what he was talking and doing with them there until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Those commandments included the commission to preach this gospel to the world, to baptize people, and to teach them all the things that he had commanded them to do. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and then this part, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's where he wanted their focus to be. Speaking of the things of the future, the kingdom of God, that which we are to seek with all of our mind and heart and soul, to love him, to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. This is what the disciples needed to hear more than anything else. The stresses that they'd been through, the traumas, they were so difficult. They were some of the greatest trials in their spiritual lives as they made that transition from being his disciples to the apostles who would have his Holy Spirit and carry on his work. And so that was a time of great change for them. We need to hear those things too. We're in a time when there is a lot of change happening in the lives of members in our congregation, in our families, our friends, wherever they might be. We need to hear those things of the kingdom of God too. Many of us have so recently experienced great trials, and this was on my mind This last week, one of our families had a death in the family, and so it's a very hard time for some of our people. Many are enduring trials of long duration in their health and in different circumstances of life. And many have been blessed very recently too, and are being blessed. And so there are many positive things. Marriage coming up this summer. Someone going off to college. Someone just got a new job. Another one getting a new job, but they're moving away. So we have pluses and minuses we have to deal with. But we all need to hear again about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and keep our focus where it needs to be. And to remember what we have committed our lives to seeking. This is our focus, brethren, or at least it should be of every step along our journey, for everyone who is young, for everyone who is old, for everyone who is well, for everyone who is sick. This is our goal and our focus, to seek first the kingdom, as we heard in the first message this morning as well. A third part that began to come into my mind, and it started about 2 weeks ago when I met here with a group of people who were wanting to ask questions about the Sabbath day. And we had a wonderful conversation, and it went really well, and I appreciated the questions. There were some things that we could read in the scripture and that I made sure I brought out, and in fact, they were part of the questions that were addressed to me there. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 4 where God inspired some very encouraging words for us. And as I was considering this message, these words kept coming to mind. In Hebrews 4, in verse 1 through 2, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest," I chose that as a title. A promise remains of entering his rest. "Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." And so there are some really important things in those two verses. And we all need to be able to look and see what is there. But the focus that I chose for the day is a promise remains. God has promised us something so very special. And we can rely on that promise no matter what stage of life we're in. So here we are, ready to begin the sermon. We have three things in place. We have love for one another and a caring attitude toward each other. When we're apart, we're praying for each other, thinking of each other, encouraging, comforting, doing things for one another. The second is the focus on what Christ taught at this time of year, that we look at those things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the third is we believe in that promise that remains. And so we can put these things together, and it helps us then to move forward in our life. So Hebrews 4 is where I'd like to take us now into the rest of the message, and then from there into some of the words of Isaiah. There's a lot here. I spent some time a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, with people asking questions about these things. So for the sermon today, I felt led to speak about that promise and how sure it is for God's people, no matter what we are going through in our lives. We read verse 1 through 2 there in Hebrews chapter 4. The promise remains. Let's think about that. This is why Christ spoke of the things concerning the kingdom of God to his disciples. There was that promise. He kept them focused on that. That remained there. No matter what they were going through or would face, that promise was there, and it needed to be uppermost in their minds. They too were not just seeking the kingdom for themselves, but they would be helping others to learn about and to seek that kingdom too. And this is a pattern that we need. The disciples needed to look forward, and so do we, with faith and with full assurance of hope. And we can see this pattern in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. A couple verses here I'd like to read just to help us to see again the importance of this in our own lives too, this way that God is working in the lives of people throughout the ages. In Hebrews 11 and verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." The promise remained for them too. The promise that there would be this future, this eternity that was given in promise by God to them as well. It was there in their lives. They died in faith. They had not yet received the promise, but they did see it, and they believed it, and they held to that belief and that faith. And through the rest of this chapter, we have their examples. And then it comes down to verse 39 and begins to tie it in with our lives too. In verse 39 and 40, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." But we would put in parentheses, the promise remains. It's always been there. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. He wants us to be there too. He wants this promise to be for us. And in his will, in his way, in his perfect timing, he brings that promise to its fullness for all of the faithful people at one moment, at the twinkling of an eye, when Christ returns, the promise then is opened up for all of those who are those first fruits, those who would be made perfect. In our goal of going on to perfection, this is part of it, and a very important part. In chapter 4, it spoke of entering into his rest. And if you read the context of chapter 4, you'll see this specifically talking about the Sabbath day. And we can see that in verse 4, Hebrews 4, "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his work." And he explains some other things there in this chapter. He's speaking of the seventh day, and that is the rest. In verse 6, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of disobedience." Again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, "Today, after such a long time, as has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." He goes on to show in verse 9, "There remains therefore a rest, a keeping of the Sabbath, a Sabbatismos for the people of God." It's the seventh day that we keep. And that day has the promise of the future, of entering into his rest in the kingdom that will come. We can see this in chapter 10, and something that we read from time to time, and it ties in here with the promise and with our seeking of that promise. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19, "Therefore, brethren," don't you just love these areas where it is like someone talking to us? Someone says, "Therefore, my fellow Christians, therefore, my brothers and sisters, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, believing in that promise, drawing near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I love the way that it opens it up to the congregational level, to the church-wide level, to be able to say, our bodies, our hearts, all of us. It's not pointed at individuals here with the word your heart. It's us together. It's God's people. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. One way we do that is through connecting with each other and comforting and encouraging and just cheering each other on and helping each other in so many ways. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And it comes to the promise again, the promise of that hope of eternal life. And let us consider one another. Ties it together in a way where it's brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister, father and mother, parent and child. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as we do on the Sabbath day. For everyone who can be here in person, and for those who are at home who can listen online, we don't forsake this. We keep this day because it helps us to know the promise of God. It helps us to know about that rest that will come and that we can enter it as the manner of some is otherwise. But it says exhorting one another, encouraging each other, helping people to actually come to services, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so we come with that, not forsaking one another, but coming together to be that holy temple that God is building through Jesus Christ. That holy nation that we sang about in the opening songs and that we heard about in the previous message. What we are going through, whatever it is, you or me or all, whatever we are in going through, we can always add this. A promise remains of entering into his rest. Together in the unity of the faith, we can see this. There's that promise. I know some verses come to our mind more when there is a death in a family. I've been thinking of a couple verses that I wanted to put in this context to show there are some specific times when it's so important that we pass our concerns and love and prayers on to and for other people. One of those is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, where it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We can help each other through those times of grieving. The passages just before that, the verses in 1 Corinthians 15 are about the resurrection, about things that we preach when we attend a funeral, but they are so significant at all times. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, that chapter ends in verse 18 where it says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words," the words of that promise that remains. Though someone has died, there is still the promise. Just as for the people whose names are listed in Hebrews 11, they saw the promises afar off and they embraced them. And we can help and comfort one another when there is such a need in our family, in our congregation. It was mentioned in Hebrews 4 that the gospel was preached to us. It certainly was. For you and for me, for all of us. There's one example that I'd like to read of the effect of that preaching, the effect it's supposed to have in our lives, and it does. And we can be so grateful for this. And this is something then we can encourage one another with and help us to be reminded when we need to be strengthened. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, speaking of Christ, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So here we sit today, either in services together or at home. We have, it says, obtained an inheritance. The promise is there for us, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That we who have trusted in him, we've received that promise, we believe it. It's at the point where we are considered now to have obtained an inheritance, it says. Verse 13, in him you also trusted. There are times we need to be reminded. Remember, you trust this, you believe it. It will happen for you. It will happen for your loved ones. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the gospel that promises to you salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. How often it comes back to God's sacred promise that he has given. This Holy Spirit, it says, is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And we can encourage each other for all the things that we need in helping in these ways. In the church, of course, there are members of every age. I've mentioned this a little bit already, from newborn babes to centenarians, people who have reached the age of 100 or more. And for everyone, no matter how young or how old, that promise remains. I want to look at a few examples in the book of Isaiah and just point out some of the things going back to what Christ was teaching his disciples during this time of year, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I just want to point out a few examples in the book of Isaiah for how this affects people at different stages of life. In Isaiah 65, verse 21 through 25, it seems to me that Isaiah was especially inspired by God to write such encouraging and forward-looking descriptions of a time when Christ would be here and the kingdom would be set up and people would be able to live in a world far different than this. And now thinking of the young families, thinking of the young people growing up who hope to fall in love and get married and have children, and the children growing up and the grandparents, thinking about what's it going to be like for those children and that next generation. And Isaiah 65 and verse 21 through 25, they shall build houses and inhabit them. Now, I would speak here to the grandparents. If you have children, grandchildren who are coming into young adult life, they're wondering, how can I live in a nice home? How can I afford to buy a home or build a home? It's practical things like that that Isaiah is writing about in a time far different than now. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They will be able to afford to do that. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And so there's a time being described here that every young person, every parent, every grandparent should teach this, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So the young people would have something so wonderful to look forward to. They shall not build and another inhabit. It's not going to be the problem like we see today with squatters and different things happening, or the home taken from them because they can't afford it any longer. They'll be able to stay there and raise their family in a time of peace, in a time of plenty. They shall not plant and another eat. There'll be time for their plans to come to fruition and their crops to grow, to harvest, and their livestock and other things. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. They're going to labor. There's lots to do. This is talking about a time when the young people will be able to do great work, and you could read many of the other things about what they'll be doing, rebuilding the old waste places, building highways, doing all sorts of grand scale things in a time of peace when they can plan and they can do things on a wonderful, beautiful level. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. God will be close to them and to those children that were growing up in that time period. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. And then I include verse 25, so we see the future context of it. The wolf also and the lamb shall feed together. And the kingdom of God is set upon this world. It's going to be so very much different than it is now. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I know every grandparent here prays for the safety of their grandchildren growing up in this world today and hoping that God will protect them from some of those things. What did Isaiah say? What is the promise for those who are sick? And among us in the congregation, we have people who are sick. Isaiah 35, we see here this promise. And when we talk of these things, think with what we started with. The promise remains. The promise is there for this wonderful future. In Isaiah 35, verse 3 through 6, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. This is quoted in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. This is one of us saying to someone else. This is a conversation. This is a friend or a parent or a family member who loves someone saying, be strong, do not fear. You will make it. God is with you. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. That's a prayer we can personalize and say in many different ways, but you see the connection there to say to other people these kinds of things that encourage them. Speaking of the sick, it says in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. There's coming a time when there will be healing of the populations of the world. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. God created eyes so that we can see, and he will open the eyes of the blind. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And he lists a few of the ways that people will be healed, but we could put many others in that are afflicting people even now. The lame shall leap like a deer. I know someone among us would really like to do that. And the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, the streams in the desert. These are the kinds of things that Jesus Christ was talking about to his disciples during this time of year, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And these are the things that we can look at too. The promise is there for us. What about those who are grieving? In Isaiah 26, and there are so many verses through all the scriptures. I just wanted to stay with the book of Isaiah. So sometimes at the feast, I give a sermon and don't turn to any other book except this. Isaiah has so much about the kingdom to come. In Isaiah 26 and verse 19, it says, your dead shall live. The promise remains. Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. You know, sometimes we have to go through these grieving times, and people did in the time of Isaiah, way before him, and the time of Christ and his disciples, and all the way down to us, of course. And so we see here these kinds of times of encouragement from God to point us to the promises again and again and again. The promise remains. In chapter 61, we see some of the purpose of the ministry of Jesus Christ when he first came in the flesh, and some of this extends then into his second coming as well. In Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And Christ quoted this when he was preaching. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to preach those things of the kingdom of God. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And we can believe that he will do that and is doing it. What a great blessing and the promise of this, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. There will be this time when all who mourn will be comforted, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. It's going to be better. And people will have beautiful lives again instead of what seems so burnt down at this time. An oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so sometimes that heavy feeling, it's there. We deal with it, we cope with it, but we keep the faith that it will get better. And we'll have the garment of praise. So many verses we can look and see in God's blessing and promises. The promise remains for all those who are old. In my prayers for many of you, I realize you're kind of creeping up there into that age where we might begin to call you old. Out of respect and honor. In Isaiah 46, I wanted you to read and hear this. In Isaiah 46, verse 3 and 4. I was speaking to someone this week who looks back, being old, instead of looking forward, is looking back and saying, I wish I were 10 years younger. But that's not exactly looking at the promise. That's looking back to something that we can't have anymore. What we can have is still before us. And so we see God's word inspired here. I want every old person to read this. Open your Bible and read this. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear you, even I will carry you and will deliver you. What a great promise. And so to all of our older members, the promise remains. And you're looking forward. And God is looking forward to carry you from here to there. There's so many good things, brethren, about being a part, about thinking of the time of year we're in, about looking for the promise that is still before us. And God reminds us of the power of faith, and he encourages us so that we can believe and trust in him. The promise is for us as well as for the faithful people of the past. We could read many of the things about Abraham and how he believed. He was strengthened in faith, it says in Romans 4, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's the faith we need and can have. And God gives to us the ability to have that. I want to conclude in 2 Peter chapter 1. Kind of puts these things together. In 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His promise that remains is the things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, become the spirit-born children of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so here we are, and we pick up again that goal of going on to perfection, and Peter goes right into that message, and he goes in verse 5 in this way. But also for this very reason, because we have those promises, because we believe them, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. He's saying keep moving forward, keep growing in a spiritual way, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. The kindness I've been speaking about through the message, to reach out to one another, to pray for one another, to comfort each other, encourage and help. And we add that to our character and our way of living. And verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We can't look back. We can't go that way. We have to keep going forward. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And then this verse. Remember, it said there remains a promise remains of entering into his rest. Verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A promise remains, brethren, for us all. I hope these words encourage and strengthen you. Keep doing good. Keep growing. Keep looking forward. Be faithful. Embrace the promise.